Welcome back to the show. It's 31 minutes after the hour. And if you are just joining us, hope your day has gone well. And I hope you are starting to get excited about the fact that it's going to get nicer soon. Because here in Minnesota, I think yesterday was our last official day of torturous cold weather. I mean, it's not super warm out there today, but we had 13 below on Monday morning for early March. It was kind of tough. But right now, I've got a fresh step in me, and I'm looking at the sun, and I'm going, I think this is going to warm up. So it has not been an easy winter, but my guest on our studio line has written a book called No Easy Jesus, How the Toughest Choices Lead to the Greatest Life. His name is Jason Mitchell, and he is grew up in Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina, and Kentucky. And which explains his lifelong struggle to pronounce his vowels. He's a teaching pastor at Lives Changed by Christ Church, where he has served since 2002. Jason, welcome.
Thank you so much, Bill. I'm sorry to hear about the winter you guys have been but I'm excited to know that spring is on its way.
Yeah, we got sucker punched because it was not too bad getting started, and it was kind of mild. And then the last 6 weeks, it's just been brutal. But I do think it's warming up into the 30s this weekend.
Yeah, and the sun's out longer now, and so we'll take it. We'll take anything we can get at this point.
Yeah. So you've been living in the South your whole life. I love the fact that you struggle with pronouncing vowels.
Yeah, my wife's name is Jenny, and it's J-E-N-N-Y. When I moved up to Pennsylvania, I kept saying Jenny, and they're like, now is it Jenny or Jenny? And I can't tell the difference. I just know that my E's and my I's apparently all sound the same. So that's the curse of growing up down South, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've got a book forward by Kyle Eidelman. We've had him on the show. Kyle's a great guy. And so the book, No Easy Jesus, you write pretty candidly that believing in Jesus has left us disappointed. That's a loaded statement. Please say more.
Yeah, I just think, you know, in my experience with a lot of people who are people of deep and abiding faith, they have over and over again, in my experience, I've just run across people who have described a gap between their own experience of life and what Jesus promises. So you have this promise of Jesus where he says, I've come to give you life and life to the full. And yet so many people who I think are genuinely wanting to experience that just aren't. And so what happens, I think, a lot of times is there's this gap of discouragement that develops in our life as Christians. There's, I think part of the discouragement, you know, comes because we look at other committed followers of Jesus and we're sitting there going, man, they live lives of devotion and they look at their families and look at, like, we look at their life and we go, that's not me. I struggle still. I still find myself, you know, thinking this way or struggling with this thing or whatever. And so I think sometimes we give up a little bit. We go, man, that life of deep devotion must be for someone else. It must be for the spiritually elite. It must be for the people without a past. It must be for the pastors, you know, whatever. I think some of us are just frustrated. And I think the frustration comes because we can't get over certain struggles. And then we find ourselves kind of, you know, kind of leaning into the lie that, well, that's just the way it is. That's just the way we speak to each other in our home. That's just the way we treat our children. That's just the way we handle business, even though I know it's unethical. Whatever it might be, it's small little compromises that we kind of settle into. And then I think, Bill, the third sort of area that we tend to settle into as Christians every now and then is just boredom. And Jesus, honestly, in the life that he promises, it just kind of all becomes background music to our previously scheduled life. And we do the church thing, and we may even give, and we may even, you know, read the Bible every now and then. We do the things that we think we should be doing, but there's no soul to it. You know what I mean? It's just kind of in the background, and there's nothing life-giving about it. And so, again, my burden for this book has just been, man, I don't want any of us to settle for that. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be frustrated. And we certainly don't have to be bored when it comes to a relationship with Jesus.
Jason, do you think that we let ourselves off the hook a little bit too early? We're looking for shortcuts. We're, you talk about just feeling disappointed or disillusioned. I mean, that's kind of human behavior, isn't it? You know, you join a gym and you're all excited and six months later, you realize you don't look like a fitness model. So you go, what's the point? This didn't work.
That's
I mean, don't we apply that to everything?
You're hitting on something incredibly important. And you're right. We live in, I mean, we live in a culture. You think about the culture we live in right now. We don't even, like, when we have a website that's trying to load and it takes longer than 0.4 seconds, we'll go get on our phone to distract us from the website loading.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, we want instantaneous. We want fast. We want quick. Now, think about this for a second, though. Most of the metaphors that are used in the scriptures to describe spiritual formation and becoming the kind of people that God has created us to be, they're agricultural metaphors, words like fruit, right, and putting down roots. Well, these take time.
Oh.
You do not grow. I mean, I was looking at a tree in our backyard recently, and I saw it, and I was like, huh. And then I saw a picture from like 4 years before, and it had grown like 4 feet, but I had never seen it. It's subtle. It's slow. Like, I didn't notice it day in, day out. But then when you see a picture from 4 years ago, you notice, whoa, that thing's really grown. But because it's so slow day to day, you don't realize it. That is the spiritual life. It is small, subtle decisions we make that like seemingly don't move the dial. And yet over again and again and again, the choice to be compassionate, the choice to forgive, the choice to, you know, live with mercy. I mean, all these small choices add up over time, but that's the key, over time. And we have to be faithful in that way.
Jason, it's so excellent that you have brought this up about fruit and roots, because that is the antithesis to the world that we live in. You know, it absolutely, we need to remind ourselves that those are biblical concepts that we need to say. Yeah. We're in this. We got to play the long game and not just feel frustrated if we don't have what we want when we want it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's Bill, those the things that we experience in life that come on the other side. I would imagine that for most of, you know, your listeners right now, think about the things in life that you're most proud of, the things in life that bring you the most joy, the things in life that have the most substance. My guess is those are things that they're not flash in the pan kinds of experiences. They're relationships that you've invested into. They're experiences, it's work that you've poured your heart into over time. In other words, we kind of know that intuitively, that the best things in life, the richest experiences, are the ones that we're going to invest the most into. And I don't think that's any different when it comes to the spiritual life, that when it comes to growing, at least, and forming the kind of character that I believe God wants to form in us to make us more into the image of His Son Jesus, it's going to require that we continue to go back again and again. This is why Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, he says, just as you first accepted Christ as your Lord, continue to follow Him. That's the key. Continue to follow Him. So when you wake up again tomorrow, you do it again.
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up again the next day, you do it again. And when you wake up again, you make a commitment again. Now we're talking about salvation. That's done, right? I mean, you give your life to Christ. That's secured. We're talking about growth. We're talking about experiencing the life that He has for you now. We're talking about formation at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, I just want all of us to experience that and to taste it. And that can only come on the other side of making that choice again and again. Today, Jesus, I'm going to follow you right now. I'm going to follow you again, believing my roots will go deep. And I may not see it today. I may not even see it tomorrow, but I will see it. When I look back on the season of my life, some point I'll look back and go, man, how much I have grown because I kept choosing you.
Yeah, I love that, Jason. I'm thinking of when you try to minimize pain or you try to do self-preservation. So you probably are willing to listen to a little bit of a lie, or you're saying, okay, I've got salvation, that's covered. Now I just got to run out the clock until I get there. And that's really not what God wants for us.
No, and I don't think we want that either.
Clearly no.
You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, I think that I don't think that's compelling. Like, the vision of Christianity that some of us were sold at some point was the whole point of Jesus was just to get you to heaven one day. And that is incredible, and we want that, and we want eternal life with God in Christ. But what that did for some of us is just left us going, okay, I'm in, but what about now? And what about today? And the problem with that is that it left the power of Jesus to transform our marriage, to transform our relationships with our roommates, to transform our thinking, to transform our relationships with our coworkers, like all the true day-in, day-out existence, it almost was like, well, Jesus doesn't have much to say about this. When Jesus has everything to say, He wants to speak life not only into our eternity, but life into right now, this day. And so that's what I'm interested in helping people experience, is to tap into that now.
Mm-hmm. Jason, you wrote that the toughest choices lead to the greatest life. That can be a little bit of a tough sell in a world which is full of comfort. And I want to be serving the Lord, but I also like the comfort and all that.
I think it is a tough sell in one degree, Bill. And it's also what I've discovered is that when we put a compelling vision out there, that a life of forgiveness where you are not bound by bitterness, a life of humility where you are not running over people with your ego, a life of sexual integrity where you are not using people around you. Like, you don't even really have to be religious to look at that kind of life and go, yeah, that actually sounds like a better way of living. You know what I mean? Like, like, do you really want to get to the end of your days and you want people around your casket to be like, he was kind of a selfish jerk? No, like, everybody says, no. Well, guess what? This is exactly the vision that Jesus paints for us and says, I want to lead you into this. I actually have created you to live because you were created in God's image. Well, what is God? God is generous. God is loving. God is forgiving. God is compassionate. So in other words, when we don't step into those ways of living, we're not breaking rules. We're working against who we were created to be, and you can't flourish that way. And so my point simply is, yes, some of the choice to forgive, the choice to be compassionate, the choice to lower yourself and live humbly, that is a tough sell. But in one sense, that's a tough sell in one sense. But in another sense, I have found, Bill, that a lot of people go, but that's the actual kind of life I want. And so let's talk about how to go after that now. Because in the end, that is truly what we want. God's created us for that. We intuitively know, man, that's who I was made to be.
Yeah.
So let's just talk now about how to walk towards it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to make the listeners happy. I've got three copies of Jason's book, No Easy Jesus, How the Toughest Choices Lead to the Greatest Life. I'll have a drawing. If you would like to get in the drawing to win one of the three books I have available, all you have to do is email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. In the subject line, just type the word no, and then make sure you put your name and address. If you win, I will be thrilled to send you a copy of Jason Mitchell's book, No Easy Jesus, How the Toughest Choices Lead to the Greatest Life. Let me take a little break. When we come back in 90 seconds, lots more with Jason. And the names are already flying in for Jason's book. You want to get the drawing for one of Jason's books called No Easy Jesus, How the Toughest Choices Lead to the Greatest Life? Email me at bill@myfaithradio.com. Just type the word no in the subject line. Make sure you leave your name and address. If you win, I'll send it to you. Jason, I see that you love coffee and rock and roll, so you and I have a lot in common. I grew up in the 70s when rock and roll was perfected, so...
right.
I don't know your vintage, but...
I'll take 70s rock and roll. I'll take most eras. I wasn't too into the hair bands. I'll give you that. There was a period
either.
From like 85 to 92 that I wasn't too I'm not too thrilled about. So
right, but we talk about music, and I you wrote in your book that Jesus can become background music if we've got a life that is way too overly programmed. How do we keep faith right at the front and center of our life?
Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a practice I've been doing, and none of this is going to be news, I don't think, to any of your listeners. But sometimes the simplest things are just the ones we need to be reminded about the most, right? I came to this point in my life. I came to this season in my life a couple of years ago. This is probably about 6 years ago. And I was driving to church. It was on Saturday night, and I was about to speak that night. And I got, I don't know, probably about 200 yards from the church. And I just lost it. I just started weeping in my car. I couldn't even get out because I knew that I've got to go up in about an hour from then. I've got to get in front of a bunch of people, and I have nothing to offer them. My heart, my soul was completely empty. And I would say that was probably true, and a lot of people would be like, how can that happen to pastors? It happens to pastors all the time where the same thing, right? Jesus becomes that background music to our life as well. And that had happened to me, and I was empty and I was dry, and that sent me, that one moment right there really sent me to doing a lot of inventory on my heart and in my personal life and on some of the patterns. And one of the things that I looked at and I just realized about my life is that for years leading up to that moment, every morning, this was my, what happened, every morning my iPhone would, the alarm would go off on my iPhone, I would turn the alarm off, and before my feet hit the ground, I was checking email. And before I even made it to the closet, I was checking my social media feeds. And before I even made it to the bathroom to get a shower, I was responding to different things on social media or you know, email. Now, here's the thing, Bill. Think about this for a second. That means that the first sacred energy of my day for years went to email before it got pointed in any other direction. It was about productivity. It was about getting something done. It was about getting moving things ahead. That takes a toll on your soul. And so I began to just make some subtle and then some major shifts in my life, even from just a rhythm perspective. And one of the things I realized as I looked at the scriptures is that you see these psalms about in the morning, I will point my, I will rise to sing your songs, right? I will rise to sing you. Jeremiah has this in the background in some of his writings. And I just decided, and this is so simple, it was something I grew up probably knowing, I just strayed away from it. I just decided for me, I'm not going to do anything in my day before I have pointed myself in a divine direction. And so for me, that's just meant I'm going to take 10 minutes. I'm going to make sure I at least pray, read the scriptures, you know, read a verse, whatever. But I'm going to point at least my thoughts in a divine direction before I try to do anything else. And again, I know it's simple and it probably sounds cliched, but Bill, I'm telling you, that one little practice it reprioritized my day. And all of a sudden now, it just kind of sets you off in the right trajectory. I cannot recommend that highly enough. That I believe that some of your listeners right now, they're wondering why there's a bit of dryness. They're wondering why they're not feeling connected. And I would just challenge them to look at the priorities. What is the way they're structuring their time? What is the way they're structuring their day? What does that say about what matters most to them? And I just decided I'm going to point myself in a divine direction before I point myself in any other way during the day. And that, for me, began to unlock Jesus is not background music. Jesus is the channel, so to speak, not background music to my previously scheduled life, but I'm going to reprioritize around that. And it's simple, and it sounds cliched, but I'm telling you, that began to change things for me.
Well, you said a couple of words, Jason, that really stuck out, and you said sacred energy. And I think when you wake up in the morning and you're spending your first moments of the new day and the energy that you get from the new day into checking social media and email when they should be, when you said, I decided to turn those moments to God and Him alone. And all of a sudden you say, you know, this is sounds cliche. It doesn't at all. It sounds spot on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm on a mission to encourage and to challenge and to inspire and to walk beside as many people as I can to make that decision, because I've seen and experienced the effects of that, and that it really does have on people.
Mm-hmm. You were a survivor of sexual abuse as a child.
Yeah.
How does sexual brokenness, you know, how does it connect? How do those dots connect to the concepts and some of the principles you have in your book?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, out of the gate, when you go through the trauma of sexual abuse, which I did, so I experienced sexual abuse at the hands of someone in our church, a very trusted family friend, someone who was incredibly involved in the church that we were a part of when I was growing up. My dad was the pastor, and this person made their way into our family and gained our trust and earned our trust and used that and violated that in the most evil of ways. And so from the ages of 9 to 14, I was sexually abused by this guy. And when that finally came out and it was made known, our church turned against us, and to be quite honest with you, and said it was my dad's fault, and he should have known, and we should have known, and I must have not really minded it, let it go on for 5 years. I mean, it's just crazy. It's amazing that, honestly, I mean, just God's grace through all of that, why we didn't just give up on Christians altogether after that is God's grace, to be quite honest with you. But I always had this ability to separate people from God, I guess. And so I knew that while these people were being this way, this is not representative of how God feels. And so with that, you can, as you can imagine, comes the it is fertile ground for bitterness and resentment and hate to settle in. And so for me, one of the things I do in the book, in No Easy Jesus, is I explore here, if you're serious about following this No Easy Jesus and choosing to get up again tomorrow and do it to, so that you can see your heart transformed into who he longs for you to be, you're going to have to make some choices. And so I explore several choices you're going to have to make. One of the choices is the choice to forgive again and again and again. This is one of the most costly choices I think we make, because whenever we forgive someone, what we do is we say, I'm not going to hold you. I will hold you responsible, but I'm not going to personally hold you accountable to pay for what you did to me. Now, that doesn't mean they don't face legal consequences, because they need to face legal consequences. There may be some people in your life that have broken the law. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about I'm not going to personally make you pay me back, which is impossible, by the way, to begin with. How could the person who sexually abused me ever truly pay me back? He couldn't. How do you pay someone back trust that's stolen? How do you pay someone back innocence that's stolen? You can't do it. So in other words, you're already failing when you think that you can make someone pay you back for the things that they've wronged you with. And so forgiveness is saying, I will absorb the debt. I will take that on. This is why it is so incredibly difficult. But at the same time, Bill, this is why forgiveness is an absolute essential step that we must take if we're serious about having our hearts transformed. Because in the end, we are the ones bound up. We're the ones. If you think about like a snorkel, you know, a lot of times, I love when Jesus says at one point, he says to forgive as you've been forgiven,
mm-hmm.
right? There's this dynamic interplay that we want the forgiveness of God. We just don't want to give the forgiveness of God at times. And so that's kind of like, I always think about like a snorkel. Like we want to breathe in the forgiveness of God, like take in the air from the snorkel, but we don't want to breathe it back out to others. And so we cover up the end of the snorkel. The problem is when you cover up the end of the snorkel because you don't want to breathe it out to others, you've also just capped and limited your capacity to breathe it in anymore. That's the dynamic there. And so I'm interested in helping free people to say, man, forgiveness is so worth that difficult choice of forgiveness will bring the best kind of life on the other side of it, because you'll be free.
Jason, I'm so sorry you went through what you went through as a child. It just makes me ill.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. We just have a couple of minutes left. I'm wondering if there are certainly listeners that, you know, maybe they just feel weary or, you know, a little bit disillusioned, and they're just punching the faith clock every day, but they don't feel energized, or they don't feel excited about their faith, or they don't feel that they're growing. Do you have some encouragement to them?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the most encouraging passages in the New Testament, in my opinion, or at least for me, is in Philippians 2, where Paul says that God will give you the desire and the power to live a life that pleases him. And my guess is some of your listeners out there right now need to know that, and that is good news. Because you think about those two words, desire and power, one without the other is almost useless. You can have all the desire in the world to follow Jesus, but none of the power to do it, and that would be frustrating. It's like you have the keys to the car, you just don't have any car. You can't go anywhere. Then on the other side, you can have all the power in the world, but you don't have any desire. And the promise of the scriptures that Paul experienced and those first Christian experiences, that you've been given both. And so I just want your listeners to know that you have been given, it is a promise that God will give you the desire and the power you need to live a life that pleases him. He will walk beside you, and he will strengthen you, and he wants to transform your heart. And you don't have to strive and pull up your bootstraps. He's going to provide it. It is all grace, but you will need to take steps towards it. And if you do that, you'll experience transformation like you never have.
Wow. Jason, thank you so much for doing the show. I'd love to have you back on. This has really been
a great time. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I want to just remind all of our listeners, if you would like to get in the drawing to win one of Jason Mitchell's book, it's called No Easy Jesus, How the Toughest Choices Lead to the Greatest Life. Email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and in the subject line, just write the word no, and then I'll know exactly what book you want, and then make sure you leave your name and address. If you win, I'll like to send it to you. So thanks again to Jason Mitchell, No Easy Jesus, How the Toughest Choices Lead to the Greatest Life. We'll take a short break and be back with lots more in hour two. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.